Coming up on Windows Weekly, Leo's on vacation, but Paul and Mary Jo are here to join me to discuss the brand new Surface devices, if Nokia will release an ARM tablet, Windows 8.1, and a whole lot more.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 329, recorded September 19th, 2013. Click clack. This episode of Windows Weekly is brought to you by Carbonite. Whether you have one computer at home or several at your small business, Carbonite backs up your files for you automatically and continually for only $59.99 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use offer code WINDOWS and get 2 bonus months with purchase. And by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to Audible.com/Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly. This is the show where we take a deep look inside of Microsoft and see what the heck they're doing this week. You might notice that I'm not Leo Laporte. Leo is on vacation. A much-needed, well-rested Leo will come back in a couple of weeks. I will be your party host for the next, I think, 3 episodes. But thankfully, we're going to have Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley joining me to tell me what's going on. I'm Aya's actor, if I haven't mentioned that. You might have seen me on Tech News Today or Know How or Windows Weekly, and you're going to see me for the next couple of weeks. Paul, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Pretty good.
How are you?
I'm terrific. The energy level is really low. I'm liking this. How about you, Mary Jo?
I'm great. Except I don't have my microphone today, but otherwise I'm great.
What did you do with your microphone?
Some people are in the chat room are saying I poured beer on it. This is not true. Something shorted out my mic, though, and I don't know what. Hmm. But not beer. Beer was not involved.
It was the
you
wine.
Look like you're calling in an airstrike.
I am.
That's actually what Mary Jo does most of the show. It's very odd.
I'm playing Call of Duty Ghosts.
I knew it.
All right. So there's apparently Microsoft news this week, which I'm ill prepared for because apparently Surface 2, there's going to be a Surface 2 event on the 23rd. Is that right? I'm forgetting which day
it
is.
Yeah, Monday.
Monday. But right now we're going to do a preview of everything we've heard leaked about the Surface 2. I know, Paul, you've had a ton of stuff up at Win Supersite. Mm-hmm. What do you know about the Surface 2?
What don't I know? What don't I know?
The price?
The price. That's right. Ha. I don't know the price.
I need the answer to that. Yep. Get that, wise guy.
Yeah, I don't know what the price is. That's I think going to be maybe the most important bit, right? Because they came in a little too high last time. They've reduced prices since then, but the question is whether they're going to continue those price cuts when the new models come out. I hope that they do.
So for hardware, what are we expecting? Just the same style of hardware? We're thinking just new processors. Is there any like major redesign when it comes to the look of this thing, or is it going to have that same clicky? They've set this up as an ad. This is their brand. We got clicks. We got kickstands. Or is this going to drop that?
So if you blinked and someone replaced a Surface Pro with a Surface Pro 2, you wouldn't notice the difference.
That's it. So it's going to look the
same. Yeah, they're identical.
But the Pro is Surface, so big.
I know. The Surface 2, I guess, you know, the RT version, is going to come with a white back. I'm not sure if it's optional. Another report I read suggested that some would be black and some would be white, and so I guess maybe there'll be a choice there. But from a form factor perspective, I think we're looking at just the, you know, the same thing as the first gen.
So is the Surface Pro 2 called the Surface Pro 2? And the Surface RT drops the RT to become the Surface 2?
Yes.
Which is a really good idea, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you say that?
Because nobody knew what the Surface RT was. Like, everybody always said, what does the RT stand for, right? And if you just have a Surface and a Surface, sorry, a Surface 2 and a Surface 2 Pro, it makes it more apparent, like, this is the little brother of the big Surface, right? Except it's the little brother that can't run the Win32 app. So that's going to take some extra explaining at stores.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that we have products called Windows 8 and Windows 8 Pro. And Windows 8 Pro or 8.1 Pro will be in Surface Pro 2, but Windows 8.1 non-Pro will not
RT. Windows 8.1 RT is what will be in Surface 2, which doesn't really help you too much.
But original Windows RT was just called Windows RT. It wasn't called Windows 8 RT, right?
Right.
Right.
But the next version of RT is 8.1 RT.
See, I think I can explain your confusion, because you have a brain in your head and you have logic, and this doesn't make any sense to you.
Oh, it's,
see, I've seen this phenomenon many, many times with Microsoft, where some explanation is required. We don't really know how to explain why they're doing this, but
this
we can
is
just
the
tell
new,
you that it's changed.
New Microsoft logic I've gotten very used to.
No, it's not new. This is not new.
Well, as in, it's not the stuff I learned in school. You know, the rules of logic proofs don't apply when it comes to Microsoft.
Wait until we get to the Windows 8.1 pricing structure. It's exactly the same kind of thing.
You're just going
to
spoil everything.
Yeah. But wait, we should go over the specs for people who may have missed one of the Windows Weekly episodes where we talked about what we are pretty sure is going to be announced this coming Monday, September 23rd. In New York. So there's going to be two things. There's going to be Surface 2. It's going to have a Tegra processor in it, not a Qualcomm processor. It's going to be the same packaging, like Paul said, 10.6 inch screen size, battery up to 8 hours, supposedly, weight 1.5 pounds, because it's the exact same form factor as the current Surface RT. Surface Pro 2 is going to have the Intel Core i5 Haswell processor and supposedly up to 7 hours of battery, which I'm a little disappointed in, I have to say. Yeah. I thought that was going to be higher.
I was looking for something close to 200 hours. But
yeah, well, it was supposed to be like double, wasn't it? Like 12?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, in theory. I don't know why it's 7. And again, same form factor as you have currently with the Surface Pro, so it's about 2 pounds. So it looks exactly like the surfaces you have, different processors inside. Is the full HD new, Paul? I think that's
new. Yeah, full HD is new on the RT device. We had that on the Pro already. But so it's actually kind of interesting what's the same on both of these devices. I think they've moved them a little closer together. So they both now have that 1080p display. They both now have USB 3.0 ports. In the previous version, it was USB 2 on RT. They both have Bluetooth 4.0. What else? They both had rear and front-facing cameras already, but I'm not really positive if those have changed from Gen 1. And they both have a new kind of kickstand that has two positions. Right. So you get the position that currently exists, and then one that puts it further back from you, if you will. I'm not sure of the exact angle, but it's angled back further.
Wait a second. That's what the two stands for? Like, it has two positions? It's got a click and a clack now?
You know, it's funny. I never drew that conclusion, but you might be right.
That's what it stands for.
So wait till Surface 3.
Isn't one position the Surface RT kickstand angle, and the other one is the Surface Pro kickstand angle?
Oh, I don't think so, because it looks like it's really far back.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I don't believe that. I don't think so.
So anyways, the double choice on the kickstand is new, but it's not a ton of new stuff. Like I've seen people joking, you know, is this a service pack for Surface? In a way, kind of, right?
That's good. Well, by the way, Microsoft is not the only company that does this. You know,
I know
Apple just announced an iPhone 5S that looks identical basically to the previous version, same body. You know, this is the type of thing that consumer electronics companies do to spread that R&D effort out over a couple of revisions of the product. And, you know, maybe we can expect a new body type or new body types with the next rev. I think some of us were hoping for different, you know, device types. I would personally like to see an Ultrabook or some kind of a bigger screen device. Some people are hoping for a mini version of the tablet, which we are going to see, although I don't think we're going to see that on Monday. And I think in some ways the biggest change, because the internal stuff that they're doing in Surface 2 and Surface Pro 2 is all very obvious, but some of the bigger changes are happening on the accessory side.
Yeah.
And we're going to see improvements there that I think are going to be a little more dramatic. And by the way, will it, for the most part, impact existing users as well?
So go ahead, Mary Jo.
I was just going to say, we should talk about the accessories, because those actually are kind of interesting, right?
Yep.
There's a docking station. And this, to me, is very interesting, because last year people were asking Microsoft, are you going to do a docking station for the Surface Pro? And they said, we don't have any plan to do that. Well, they lied. They are doing it.
Yep.
They're doing it. Yeah. So that actually sounds like a pretty cool device, the dock, from what we know and have heard leak-wise about it. It's only for the Surface Pro the Surface Pro 2, mm-hmm. right? And not for the Surface RT.
Right.
Or also not for the Surface 2, right? So only for right. Intel-based, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that might be, I don't know if that's tied to the Intel-ness of it or because it has a slightly different connector on the bottom or how that works. But yeah, it's only for the x86 stuff.
So this docking station is not taking advantage of USB 3.0 or anything. It's going to have it's going to be using its own proprietary connection.
Right.
But it has a USB 3 in it, right?
It does. Yeah. So I mean it has a USB 3 port, it has three USB 2 ports. It has video out, Ethernet and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, you slide in your device at kind of an angle and it kind of clips in. But it connects with that connector on the bottom.
Yeah, Paul, you had a really interesting description of what this docking station looks like on your website. It sounded like okay. It kind of suspends it in the air, and you have to put it in an angle, and then there are these things that attach to the surface.
It has wings on the side.
It flies away, yeah. And it also will make
the way I sort of it seems like there are two pieces on the side that kind of come in and grab it. So you slide it in, and then pop the sides in.
Do you want moving parts in a docking station? Don't you just want to be able to connect and make sure you don't break anything?
I would just say that having used several docking stations, Dell and Lenovo ThinkPad type docking stations, this isn't all that different from that kind of thing. The difference, of course, is that this thing is a tablet. And so, with a laptop type thing, it was more of a simple affair where you would kind of push down on the back of it and it would clip on. But you still had to do that, thing like the Russians and the US in space, docking with each other. You hadn't lined them up exactly. This one, because the device is a tablet and people are going to want to use that screen while they use the docking station, accommodates the Surface sitting at an angle, which is probably one of the two kickstand angles, right? And so you could put it right in front of you or off to the side and use it with an external monitor, and you would still have the use of the screen. And so it's a slightly different design, but that's because of the needs of the device, I think.
And then there's also a power cover coming, which we've heard leaks about. And so this is Microsoft kind of hinted this was going to be coming. This is a keyboard, a type keyboard that is just exactly, well, almost exactly like the current type keyboard, except it gives you extra battery life. It's just going to add a little bit of thickness, I think. I don't know how many millimeters, I don't remember. A couple millimeters to the type cover. And I don't know. Do we know how much it'll extend the battery life by, or have we heard anything on that?
Significantly.
Okay. There we go. Yeah. Which will be good because, you're only getting 7 hours on the new Surface Pro. Mm-hmm. So if you're one of those people who doesn't want to carry around an adapter, you can at least just carry around this keyboard.
Yeah. And so if you compare it to a type cover, it's probably not quite twice as thick. And a type cover is not super thick. Mm-hmm. And so it gives you this thing that weighs about a pound. I wouldn't be surprised if this thing didn't give you half again, at least as much battery life. And so if you think about a 7 hour battery life, if we gave, 3 hours or 3 hours plus of battery life, I think that would be more than, would offset the weight difference and be worthwhile to many people. And maybe it's more than that. I actually have no idea because they don't have an exact number here, but I think a lot of people have been waiting for this kind of thing, have wanted this kind of thing, and I think this is going to make a big difference.
Now, this power cover, it doesn't make the Surface into like a real laptop where it's kind of like an ASUS Transformer style. It's still a cover, right? So you can't still mm-hmm. place this thing on your lap as you would a laptop.
I don't have one, but I mean, I would imagine thanks to the extra thickness of it and so forth, it's going to be more rigid, and maybe it would work better in that scenario. It's going to be the same size as a type cover. And so if you find that to be kind of wobbly and unworkable, I mean, it's possible the power cover won't be any better, but I think it's mostly just about the battery life that you'll typically be, having it on a desk, but now you can be disconnected for a much longer period of time and not worry about it.
But you have to put it on a desk. That's the thing about the Surface. Because it's a docking station, that's what I'm like somewhat curious about. And when Microsoft, there's been rumors of that a while ago. Microsoft killed those rumors of making a laptop style dock, a keyboard dock that you could just clip the RT or even the Pro into it. And they're still not doing that, at least from all the leaks right now. So it's just kind of like, great. Sometimes I wonder if Microsoft keeps these products somewhat crippled to keep HP and Dell and everybody else really happy to continue to make their tablets. Because otherwise, if Microsoft made the best absolute device, why would anybody else do it?
Yeah. Well, we talked about this last week when we were talking about Microsoft's OEMs. I call them competitors. Sorry. OEMs making Chromebooks.
Well, they are faux pas there. Yeah.
So, you know, now that those guys are making Chromebooks, HP, Asus, Acer, why not make a PC, Microsoft? Why not make the Surface Book? I would buy one. I actually would prefer a clam shell style. Yep. PC, because you can use it on your lap, right? And the keyboard is usually much better, and I type a lot, so that matters a lot to me. I would love to see Microsoft do one.
The other thing is, like, this is not even close to a full-size device. When you think about a mini Ultrabook type machine or a MacBook Air also, you know, they come with 11-inch screens, and those are small devices. This thing is a 10.6-inch screen, so it's roughly the same size. You know, this keyboard is just of a certain size. It's okay. When you move up to a 13-inch machine or a 15-inch machine, which I happen to prefer personally, I think you get something that's more applicable as a productivity machine to more and more people than 11 inches. I think that's kind of fringe from a size perspective, regardless of the wobbliness of how they did the keyboard and so forth. And so I think there's a much bigger audience personally for a machine that's a little bigger than this. But, you know, again, maybe that's – they don't seem to be moving super quickly with this stuff. So maybe that's something we see next year. Further down the road.
So when all of this stuff comes out on Monday, we're going to see Microsoft share prices go through the roof. People will be excited. People, this is the future, right? Or what's going to happen?
Wow.
I think there are a lot of people who haven't been following the leaks who are going to be surprised that it isn't more new than it is, right? And they're going to be like, that's it? It looks exactly like the Surfaces we have. But think about it. Microsoft has a lot of these Vapor Mag cases, as they call them. They have a lot of keyboards still in stock. This is why they took a write-down on the Surface RTs. So they want to use up the stock of all these parts that they have. Plus, you know, they're going to have the new peripherals. I actually think the most exciting part of Monday is the peripherals, not the devices.
And by the way, we haven't told the full story on that. There's a lot more coming from a peripheral standpoint have mentioned. And I think that's going to be, some of that stuff will be really interesting for people.
Yeah. We've heard Microsoft hinted earlier this year at their partner conference that there were going to be more colors coming on the keyboards, both the type and the touch keyboard. So I think we're going to see more colors if you care about that kind of thing. So that's one thing to expect for sure.
Yep.
There'll be things that will be interesting and new. People will be happy about seeing the Haswell processor come to the Surface Pro. I mean, so don't get me wrong. It's not all of it a big downer. But I just think a lot of people are expecting miracles on Monday, and I don't think they're going to get miracles.
Microsoft Miracle Monday. Probably not any miracles.
Well, at least not at Microsoft.
Well, it's too bad they can't just make the back of the Surface change color, kind of like an Alienware kind of thing. With the, once you clip on one of these covers, like you got the bright pink one, and now your Surface.
Make sure you give it to Nokia. Nokia could make those for them. Yeah. You know, they could clip off the covers. Nice.
They could try that. I mean,
Dell. You know, Dell used to do. Dell might still do that. You know, they used to offer the covers you could pop off and.
Yes, I used to have one of those. My Dell Inspiron 8500, which was like a 7-pound laptop that I used to carry around in law school. Massively large. I still think that's the kind of device that you want to have day in, day out, right? Not a Surface Pro. 7-inch laptops are the way. I mean, 7-pound laptops.
7-pound Dell Inspiron.
With changeable covers that are made of plastic and scratch easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. I'm sure I'm not going to hurt sales of the Inspiron 8500 considering I don't believe it exists anymore other than in my garage where I still keep one with Linux running on it at this point because it's kind of crippled. Okay, so we've got colors coming for the covers. We've got very similar looking hardware. Is anybody going to get excited about this? The press? Like, yay?
Here's what would get people excited. The pricing. And this is the thing we don't know. And by the way, the pricing could also be what sinks this forever. Because if they come in at the same pricing as they did last year, this stuff is just still in the water. But if they can get the pricing to a point that, you know, makes some sense, I mean, that undercuts, say, iPads or whatever, that, you know, maybe that would make some sense right there. And so we'll see. We'll see if they've learned the lesson of that. I mean, they're probably not very excited about taking another $900 million write-down or write-off or whatever that was. And maybe they're going to just say, yeah, you know, this thing's going to have to start at $999, you know, for the Pro 2. And if it does, then that's the end of this. So we'll see. It's really just going to come down to pricing.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing to watch on the pricing is they're going to still want to keep selling Surface RT and Surface Pro, right? So what's probably going to happen is they're going to introduce these new ones, the Surface 2 and the Surface 2 Pro, at a higher price and then drop the price on the RT and the Surface Pro. That would be my guess, because they're going to try to unload that stock, right? And they're going to try to make these new products look like premium. So I don't think they're going to come way, way down on price, but they would be crazy not to come down, I think, from what they had last year.
Yep.
I think you get rid of the stock by just including Surface RTs with every Xbox One. Why not? This is your right. smart glass device. Here you go.
Buy a Surface Pro, you know, Surface 2, get a Surface RT for free.
Well, if you buy an Xbox One, that's the product that's going to be moving like crazy. What about the whole deal with Microsoft? They're offering, what, up to $350 back if you trade in an iPad or an Android device at this point for a service? Yep. Like, is that going to get people to switch?
I don't know. Yeah, this is a brand new promo they launched this week. So last week they had a promo, get a $200 gift card if you go to a Microsoft store and you want to trade in your iPad. So now this is a whole new promo. This is trade in your existing phone, and it can be BlackBerry phone, Android phone. It can be anything pretty much. It can even be feature phones. And you get, they calculate how much the trade-in value is, and they give you a credit, which you can then apply either to a Windows phone or a Surface RT or Surface Pro that you purchase. So it's a little bit complicated. You have to go buy the phone or the tablet first. Then you apply this trade-in credit, and they tell you how much they're going to give you. Then they mail you a Visa gift card for the amount, and you can apply it to your purchase. It's another way they're trying to get rid of stock, obviously. I don't know how successful that's going to be. How many people are going to trade their iPads for Surfaces? I don't know. Maybe there are some. I actually heard from one guy on Twitter yesterday who said he was doing it. I haven't heard a lot of people say they're doing it.
What's Microsoft going to do with their stock of iPads then?
Once they
if they're successful, they'll have like 500 at the yard sale.
Yeah.
Right where they have that tent for build. Yeah.
they're doing this with a company called Clover Wireless, which refurbishes iPads and other devices and phones. And they either resell them overseas primarily, or they also sometimes donate them to charity. And so that's what's going to happen to the iPads and iPhones and other phones that get traded in.
I seriously doubt Microsoft's planning for success on this one. I don't think, like, oh, yeah, we're going to get, like, what, 4 iPads? I mean, they can run all the ads they want with Windows Phone saying it's faster than the other devices to find things. But to tell people, yeah, we're going to trade in this device for a credit, this is a complex transaction, too. It's not like I hand you this device, you hand me a new one, you cut off the price. It's, like you mentioned, the gift card situation.
Yep. The one thing that they have also in this promo that I don't know if this will be appealing to anyone out there, but they have a clause on the site that says if you're a company and you want to trade in a bunch of devices, like a bunch of iPads, Android tablets, other phones, we can take this in bulk and do it as a bulk credit. So it's also aimed at businesses. If there are any businesses out there that are trying to get rid of their other non-Microsoft devices. I have no idea if those people exist, but if they do, you can also use this promo to do that.
I'm sorry, I'm still laughing about this. I just don't see this being successful.
Yeah. I think it's kind of just like, hey, let's throw a bunch of promotions out there and see if it helps us at all.
That's a great strategy.
I don't know if they think it'll be successful. I don't really know.
Do they have one of those those things that blow in the wind? You know, those guys like that you see at car dealerships or whatever. You know, like they have like an air thing under them.
An inflatable surface thing that's kind of like, yeah, was this the
it's
whole
like
time?
A surface. Yeah, exactly. It's the click guy. It's the guy from the click commercial.
Yeah, because they're dancing around with the clicking and the clacking now, and now I'm realizing this: the Surface and the Surface 2 are actually on the Intel TikTok. So we got TikTok and we got click clack when it comes to the revisions of these devices. Yeah. I'm very excited about this. And you're right, Surface 3, when it has 3 pivot points, that's going to be freaking awesome.
Bingo. Done.
No. Bing is a exactly. whole other product. Bing has nothing. Actually, Bing is baked really into this, isn't it, as well?
Yeah.
Maybe it'll make a bingo sound when you connect them. That's the next one.
Somebody is saying on Twitter, and they're right, even if one person trades it in, it's a success. Michael.
Oh, especially if they can get a photograph of this guy. celebrating his trade-in, you know?
Scoble holding it up. Yeah, that, like he did with his iPad when he bought it. Remember that picture? Right.
Hopefully he'll be wearing a towel this time.
I think the people who will do this who can figure out the way to do arbitrage. Like, if you can make more money doing this than the actual purchase of an iPad, like, if you can get, like, a refurb, you give it in, this probably will actually work. I'm trying to think if you can get a refurb, what it would cost, and what gets you the $350, probably a 64-gigabyte LTE version of an iPad. Like
that's a lot of work for a couple of bucks, you know? Well,
it might work. I mean, people do microtransactions all the time. Got to have some stock market.
Yeah, but you know, like, so I could picture someone going through this whole master plan, doing this, trading it in, making $25, and then walking out of the store and saying, "Damn it, I just bought a Surface. What am I doing here? Like, what was that?
What am I going to do with this thing?
Why did I go through all that?"
Well, it's like that guy who collected all those Healthy Choice pudding cups. Yeah. And he figured out a way to get thousands and thousands of miles.
It's the pudding thing, right?
This is this is the Microsoft pudding promotion. I think.
Although, remember at Microsoft's conferences this summer when they had those buy a Surface for $99. Remember the lines for those things? It was crazy. So there are people who want them. There are
at $99. People wanted the touchpad.
I know. Well, maybe you could get $99. You know, if you want to trade in something, maybe not your iPad 4, but maybe something else. You know, get something.
We can wait till the Christmas time when there's a great. If you're listening to the audio only, you're missing a fantastic photo of Robert Scoble and Tony Wang.
Oh, that's not C. Philip Hoffman or whatever the guy's name is.
No,
Seymour Hoffman. I have to bing this. I don't know his name.
At least Scoble's wearing a shirt in this picture.
Yep.
So, yes, he is. Oh, yeah. If you were listening to the audio version, you're like, should I download the video version? Now you know Robert is wearing.
The answer is always no. Always no.
We don't know if he's wearing a towel on the bottom, but he is wearing a shirt.
Can we get that picture up again, Alex? Let's see. Yeah, we can't tell if there's a towel or not under there.
He's holding a Lumia phone. That's kind of interesting.
Is that the 1020?
Yeah.
That amazing.
He has the same phone as Tony. Is the point of the picture?
Oh,
wow! That's fascinating.
Well, you better hope the similarities end there, my friend.
He's also wearing Google Glass in the picture, which means he's going to have serious eye problems eventually. Every time I see anybody with Google Glass and I see this look, they're like, "There's something looks very odd about it." I'm not sure if it's the best idea. Again, if you're listening to the audio only, you have no idea the face I'm making. So you should, like Paul said before.
It's sort of a glass eye effect.
Like Paul said, don't download the video.
Just don't do it.
I think on that ridiculous note, we should take a small break and thank Carbonite. What do you guys say? Sound like a plan?
Sure.
All right. Yeah. So this episode of Windows Week is brought to you by Carbonite. And whether if you are looking at your to-do list today, take a look. Does it say you're going to back up your files? Because if you don't, you're probably not alone. I had a 3-terabyte drive fail the other day, and it wasn't backed up at all. It cost me $100 to get recovery software to get the data off of it because I spent a lot of time organizing my files, my folders. This was all my media because I was lazy. I'm like, I'm not going to back up. I don't have to back up. And most people don't back up the computer files at home and their small businesses as often as they should. They really should. If you use Carbonite, it's going to back up your computer files to the cloud automatically and continually. So if I was making changes, all that stuff would be reflected in Carbonite. Whenever your computer is connected to the internet, Carbonite's updating. Unlimited backup space for your PC or Mac. It's just $59.99 a year. The recovery software I bought was $100. And I had to buy a new drive, which cost me another $120. So if I was just buying, if I just had a Carbonite subscription at the time, it would have just cost $60 for the whole thing. Would have been able to get my stuff back. And then I could buy the drive at my own leisure. Actually, it turns out if I just change the file system, it would work fine. If you run a small business, Carbonite has plans that will back up all your computers, servers, external hard drives for a low, flat annual fee. And with Carbonite, your files are automatically and continually backed up. Again, continually. So when you make a change, your backups will change and it'll reflect all that. So you don't have to keep paying attention because you're not going to be like, oh, yeah, I updated my stuff. There's so many things going on in your day. I'm sure backing up sometimes just leaves your mind. Your backups are off-site, so if something happens to your physical location where your data is, don't worry about it because Carbonite's got it in the cloud for you. And after you have a computer disaster, it's really easy to restore. So if you want to get your stuff back, get it back really easily. And you can access your backed up files on any computer or on your smartphone or tablet with the free Carbonite app. You can even email a file right from the Carbonite app. Now, unlimited backup for your PC or Mac, only $59.99 a year. You can start your free trial today at Carbonite.com. You don't even need to give them a credit card when you're trying out this trial. We're sure you'll love Carbonite, so remember to use the offer code WINDOWS when you do purchase, and you'll get 2 bonus months for free. That's Carbonite.com, offer code WINDOWS. We thank Carbonite for their sponsorship of Windows Weekly. Now, where were we in Microsoftville? Oh, right, Nokia. They bought Nokia. Yeah, the funny thing is, I haven't been on the show for so long.
Since in Microsoft.
The last time I was here, the massive amount of changes. Ballmer retires. Microsoft buys Nokia. I'm like, Of all the days to not be on the show, I'm really glad we get to talk about this whole thing. We got Nokia. We've had these leaks of their phablets, that these Windows, these larger Windows phone devices. Then there's these Windows RT devices. And apparently Microsoft's kind of shoving around Nokia before they even own them. Is that what's going on?
This is a rumor.
Okay.
And I'm not going to give this rumor a ton of credibility, but it's out there. So the source of this rumor is Eldar Murtazin. Murtazin? Is that
something
how you say
like
his
that.
Name?
Yeah.
Murtazin, who used to work at Nokia and now is a big thorn in their side. And he says Microsoft is bullying Nokia and is making them cancel the Sirius tablet and half the Asha touchscreen phones too. Okay. So no one from Nokia has come out and said this is wrong, but I'm a little bit skeptical of this. My take is we've talked before about the Sirius tablet. It's an ARM-based tablet that Nokia has supposedly coming out this holiday season. We never got an invite to the launch of this, which supposedly was September 26th. So a lot of people are assuming because it's not launching September 26th that it's dead. I don't think that's a safe assumption. I think it may be launching along with that Bandit, the Lumia 1520, which is now going to, it looks like, launch in October, later October, and be available in early November. So I'm still kind of thinking Nokia is going to do the Sirius tablet, and I think if they do it, they may launch it at the same time as they launch the Bandit phablet. I don't know that we can just say because no one got those invites for the rumored September 26th launch that it's dead, which is kind of what people are jumping on the bandwagon and saying.
Paul had the biggest smile while you were saying this stuff, Mary Jo. What's so intriguing to you, Paul? Unless you were looking at like a picture of pie, it's possible.
I was on lolcats.com. No, I was just thinking that when Mary Jo was describing the situation with the Twitter thing, and I think she's right that, you know, this is one of those things, like anyone could say this, you know, Microsoft is going to push Nokia to not release this tablet. I mean, it makes sense on the surface, pardon the pun. I had put something into the notes that I think there's an interesting thought here that possibly Microsoft might want to be the only Windows RT maker, you know. That would be some way for them to differentiate from the other stuff going on and for them to offer sort of a Zune type device, you know, the pure Metro device. And that if Microsoft really does push forward with this notion of de-emphasizing the desktop and possibly even making it optional or eliminating it in the future, that they could do that with Windows RT. But that's something a lot of its partners would not necessarily be interested in because they all want to sell to corporations and, do the backwards compatibility thing. And that it might be cleaner for them in some ways not to have to worry about OEMs, like just to be able to do that on their own. And on that note, it kind of makes sense that maybe, having a Nokia device out in the world that now they will own and have to sell kind of alongside Surface RT or Surface 2, whatever, doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense. So I don't, no one knows what really is happening here, but I think the coolest thing about the Nokia device, the Sirius tablet, isn't that it's running Windows RT. It's that they're going to have some very vague, and we don't know what this means, sort of Nokia companion apps that will run on both that device and on their phones. And that having both of these devices would be advantageous for that reason. And so I was sort of more curious about that aspect of it than I was about the device itself. And that's something I would really like to see happen regardless. And so hopefully we see that kind of thing.
Yeah, but I would think Nokia would have so much confusion going on if they have this device that looks like a Windows phone that's a little larger running a different operating system. And the funny thing is I'm looking at the pictures of this device. It's the most Metro-like thing I've seen. Like the back of it looks like it should be a live tile or it could be a live tile because we have this bright color. It's But yeah, if Nokia's doing companion apps, that's actually a brilliant way to do it. And the idea of Microsoft trying to get people to stop making RT devices, I don't think they need a strategy to do that. They seem to already have it.
Well, or that was their strategy, and they're brilliant.
Yeah.
It's the new Coke plan? Is that what you think it is?
It's really worked.
Yeah. Samsung's not doing it. ASUS is not doing it. Nokia wants to do it. And
most companies weren't doing it, and of those that signed on board, all of them have dropped it.
Right.
You know, and
this device sounded awesome.
Paul
had some specs on this, and I'm looking at them right now. The price wasn't so awesome. The rumored price was $500 for this ARM-based tablet. But it supposedly had battery life up to 10 hours because it was using a Qualcomm processor and weighed 1.3 pounds, nice and light, and had LTE support, which is something the Surfaces don't have. So that all sounded kind of appealing, plus a much better camera in it with the Carl Zeiss optics in it and all. So if you're one of those people who likes to go around and take pictures with your tablet, you would have been happy, maybe.
And plus, I probably wouldn't have attacked you because it's an Nokia tablet.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it still could debut and hopefully not at that price. That price seems a little high, but I'm not totally counting it out. And I'm definitely not going to jump to the conclusion Microsoft's telling them not to make this device. I think that sounds a little skeptical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So, Paul, you think this is just Murtazin being a thorn in the side of Nokia again?
I think a lot of the blog posts that you see out in the world these days are speculation about things that just seem like they make sense, you know. And so it's very easy to make this kind of a claim. I'm not saying it's not true. I just don't. I don't know, and no one really does know. But I just think that this stuff is wait and see. And like Mary Jo said, I think the part I laughed at was she was talking about the September event that was definitely happened that no one was ever invited to, you know, but we all knew it was happening. I mean, whatever, you know, so they're doing it in October now. This device was never going to come out anywhere closer than November anyway. What's the difference? And the phone device in particular is going to have to be running GDDR3, which is a future update to Windows Phone that, to my knowledge, is not even out in the world complete yet. So obviously it's not going to be something that's coming out next weekend regardless. So I do think we're going to see a 1520 or whatever they decide to call that. Those numbers seem to fluctuate over time. At this point, honestly, I given what's going on with Nokia, just from their perspective, I'm not positive it makes a ton of sense for them to release a tablet, if only because Microsoft already has a tablet business. And if they're going to be sold to Microsoft, this is redundant. As good as it sounds, you know, and it does. It looks great. I would have picked one up, but I just think it's possibly redundant.
I would think the Microsoft-Nokia relationship for the past couple of years has been sometimes buddy-buddy, sometimes angry, because they've been working together so much that the report seems just a little wrong. Like, why would you put out this rumor out there? Is it true? And who are your sources? But the fact that it could be contentious at this point wouldn't be that surprising, because Nokia probably has these ideas that this is what's in our pipeline, this is what we wanted to do, let's get it out there. When Google bought Motorola, they were just still churning out all the stuff Motorola had in the pipeline. And even the president of Motorola was saying, yeah, we've got like 18 months worth of stuff in the pipeline. Our cool stuff will come out later. So I don't know if Microsoft wants that same kind of like idea.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we got to keep pumping out Nokia products because they should exist, but... Maybe. Yep. I'll see. We'll see.
You know, the Asha stuff, I don't have any opinion on it. Beyond the fact that I was surprised that Microsoft picked up that business, you know, I suspect the only reason they did it, well, this is not fair to say, but one of the reasons they did it probably was to prevent a resurgent Nokia from advancing that into some next generation smartphone that could have then beaten Windows Phone in the marketplace. I'm sure that was part of it. But obviously the other part of it is that it is a big business, and it gives them an upsell to Windows Phone down the road in parts of the world where, you know, smartphones today either aren't a big deal or Windows Phone is not a big deal.
I really hope go ahead, Mary Jo.
I was going to say, today there was a blog post on Nokia's site about something called, I don't know if this is brand new, but called My Pocket Office. And what it is are a bunch of office readers for things like PowerPoint, Word, and Excel. And those are going to run on certain Asha phones. So that shows you Microsoft's thinking, oh, well, we could maybe throw some Office stuff on here to kind of get them hooked in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that also is another place where there could be synergies.
The Asha phones are nice. I mean, they're nice
phones. They are nice. They are. I know. I looked at some of them and I was like, wow, those are really nice.
I want to get one, but you can't buy them in the United States.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And this is from some time ago. They've improved dramatically since then, but you know, say about a year and a half ago, they did a presentation where they introduced, for the time, new Asha phones and also new Windows phone, new Lumias. And obviously, I watched this event so I could see the Lumia stuff. But when they did the Asha bit, I was like, well, you know, these are in some ways more interesting. I mean, they're just really nice devices. And especially that, I don't remember the model numbers, but the, you know, the latest line that they put out recently or introduced recently is just an, it's just a nice looking phone.
When Microsoft bought those pieces of Nokia, what exactly did they get with the Asha line? Did they just get to market it, or did they get the IP behind it to get the OS?
They own all of it.
Yep. Microsoft wouldn't be crazy enough to have a feature phone OS, would they?
Microsoft bought Hotmail and ran FreeBSD for a decade. You know, I mean, sure. Of course they're crazy enough.
Yeah.
Crazy like a fox.
Yeah.
No, they're just crazy.
I can't remember the exact details of this, but there, at one point, Microsoft was doing some stuff in Microsoft Research where they were looking at how they could put more of their services and software on feature phones. It was a while ago, and now I'm not remembering what exactly they were trying to put on there. But I don't think it's going to be a case of where they take some variant of Windows Phone OS and put that on those phones. But it's definitely going to be more services, right? And that's appealing enough to them because they want to be the devices and services company. So they don't care so much, does it run Windows Phone? It's more like, can we sell these guys some more of our services?
And by the way, why can't it have a little bit of a Windows Phone look and feel? It could have that common Metro type UI as well.
Because then you'll wonder, why can't it run the same apps on the same thing? And then we're back to RT versus Phone.
That's fair. But Mary Jo's point is, of course, the most important one, which is just that you get people hooked on those services. And hopefully what it involves is such things as, you know, paying for Office 365 on an annual subscription and being able to access that stuff from that phone, you know, SkyDrive and whatever else, you know, Xbox Music Pass, whatever. And, you know, then they'll want to move up within the ecosystem and get a more powerful phone that has access to the same services, which, by the way, is part of the reason they should give away Windows Phone for free. But that's a different topic.
Well, Stephen Elop probably could buy everybody a Windows Phone. What's he getting out of this deal? $25
million? $25 million.
For running a company side by side with Microsoft and not gaining market share and doing. How did he manage this?
Good question.
Nice.
That was awesome.
Nice going, Alex.
That was cool.
$25 million.
How did he manage this? Good question. We just found this out today because Nokia had to publish a proxy for an upcoming meeting that they have voting at Nokia on the Microsoft-Nokia deal. So one of the pieces of information in that proxy was how much Stephen Elop's getting paid for taking over the devices and services part of, the devices and studios part of Microsoft, ultimately, if and when the deal is closed. So he's going to get a base salary of $5.5 million and $20 million more in stock awards. And an interesting piece about this is Microsoft is going to pay 70% of this and Nokia is going to pay 30%.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not a golden parachute. That's like a platinum parachute. You know, although to put that in perspective, you know, $25 million in the scope of a $7.2 billion transaction is not that much, right? It's like 1/8 of the 0.2 part of that. Sure. But it's a lot for an individual to get, of course.
You know, I saw some people speculating on Twitter. They said, is this Microsoft paying him off and in case he doesn't
get the CEO? For a job well done, did they say that?
No, they actually said in case he doesn't become CEO.
Oh, I see.
Which is kind of interesting because everybody knows Stephen Elop's one of the leading candidates for Steve Ballmer's job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people are just assuming he is the guy, but you can't completely assume that. And if he's not the guy and you want to keep him around running the division, you're going to have to pay him pretty well, I would think.
Sure.
So interesting theory. I don't know.
No, it's not. It's kind of a nice payoff. Like, it's like, you're going to have to go spend 3 years in Finland, but, you know.
Didn't he remove most of that from the U.S. though? I thought he didn't hang out there very often. He even called it Nokia. He didn't call it Nokia either, did he?
Yeah, no, he never said
that. Like, that's how committed he was to Nokia.
I believe he actually did move there, but his family stayed behind.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure he went back and forth a lot.
Jerry in the chat room mentioned Scott Forstall is available.
No.
That's That's a great idea.
If Anakin Skywalker ends up at Microsoft, I give up. I just can't. I can't deal
well,
with
you
that.
You don't want a world with Microsoft where everyone's infighting and there's politics again? Wait.
All I want is a calendar that looks like a torn piece of paper.
You've got it.
Ooh, can you imagine Notepad having little...
Yeah.
Ew. No, keep them away.
Skeuomorphize a Notepad.
That would be horrible, guys.
You want a college lined or that other kind of lined?
Wide ruled. Wide ruled was the other one.
Wide ruled. Graph paper.
Ooh.
Yeah. Actually, you can do that in OneNote, but...
I like how our immediate reaction, all of us, we're all disgusted by that concept. So let's leave.
Hold on. I got to wash my mouth out.
While you're doing that, we should talk a little bit about the Windows 8.1 pricing. That Windows 8.1 is coming out soon. Supposed to fix lots of things that people didn't like, including adding boot to desktop and having a lot of features that were kind of hidden away in the desktop function of control panel. Now they're actually built into the new modern UI. But the pricing seems to have people scratching their heads. What's going on with that?
You know,
as us scratching our heads too. Yeah.
This is the other, you know.
It gives you lice, is what I'm saying.
This would make a good sitcom. We could just call it, oh, Microsoft. And like every time someone says something that's so stupid about Microsoft, you're like, oh, Microsoft, you know. So the pricing is exactly the same as it was before. Obviously, if you have Windows 8, or maybe not obviously, if you have Windows 8, it's free. I mean, you get this web updater, you can get to Windows 8.1 for free. But the reason it's so weird is when Windows 8 came out a year ago, they got rid of the what they called a full product version, the full whatever that was called, the full version, meaning that they only had an upgrade version at retail or electronically. And the thought was, because everyone running a supported version of Windows, meaning Windows XP, Windows Vista, Windows 7, qualified for the upgrade version of Windows 8, there was no reason to sell a full version anymore because everyone qualified for the upgrade. And technically, or you know, when in the past when they had both upgrade and full versions, the upgrade version was always cheaper, and so there were advantages, you know, for that reason to get that version. A little more complicated when you want to do things like a clean install of Windows without doing an upgrade, but so that was kind of the weirdism from there. So now this time the pricing is the same, but now it's full version only. So they got rid of upgrade this time. So they're not going to sell an upgrade version electronically or in retail. You can only get a full version. So, what change? I don't know. But why? I don't know.
Well, one reason they said they changed it, and I don't know if this is just an excuse or if this is a real reason, was they're trying to make it easier for people who install Windows in a VM or a partition, or people who are building their own PCs, to just be able to go and buy these new full SKUs and not have to have a special system builder one. Although I believe they still are going to offer a system builder SKU.
Which is what makes this nuts.
I know, but that was part of their reasoning, they said, for why they went back and went with the full version.
Here's an idea. Why not just have an upgrade and a full version?
Which is what they always had, right?
I don't understand why, you know. It's like we decided to cut this in half, so everyone complained, and so now we're going to cut it in half again, but we're going to do it a different way.
Okay, so wait a second. So you're Microsoft gives back all these features where people were complaining were missing, and then they screw something up in the execution.
Yeah.
And what's new about that?
That's what I mean. Classic.
It's
classic Microsoft.
Microsoft classic.
Oh, and the other thing we should bring in, because let's just heap in more bad news, is if you're upgrading and installing Windows 8.1 and you're on Windows 7, you do have to reinstall all your apps.
Yes.
What you found out this week. Yeah.
So, by the way, speaking of, yeah, and this has always been a weird deal. I don't remember the details now off the top of my head, but when Windows 8 came out, I put out a separate post about, okay, so you've got Windows XP or you've got Windows Vista or you've got Windows 7. And you run setup for Windows 8 inside of those operating systems. What are your options? You know, and they're different for each version, right? I think Windows 7, you could do an in-place upgrade, which is what people think of as an upgrade, you know, meaning you take this thing that is your OS that has settings that you've made, you know, or changed or configured. You've got all of your data, documents, files, whatever. And you've got applications that you installed. And you upgrade it. And what that means is all of that stuff comes forward. If you had Office, you still have Office. It still works. If you had Photoshop, still Photoshop. Still works. The other operating systems, the older ones, worked a little differently. Off the top of my head, they're what we call partial or full migrations. They would offer the capability to bring forward certain things, settings plus data or just data, you know. Technically, what you're doing when you do that kind of an install and a migration, we used to call it, it's actually doing a clean install of the operating system. It's saving that other stuff off to the side. And then after it does the clean install, it's pushing those things back in, whatever it is, settings, data, or settings and data. And if I'm not mistaken, I'll have to do this again for Windows 8.1, but I think when you do a setup for Windows XP, Vista, or 7, you only have those migration choices now. You can't, and I think this is what Mary Jo just said, you can't do an actual upgrade, an in-place upgrade, meaning your applications cannot come forward. So that's actually quite different from Windows 8, from the perspective of someone upgrading from Windows 7. And I'm not clear on why there would be such a limitation or why that changed.
Yeah. We should mention, when we say all apps, we mean everything, including Office. You have to reinstall Office too.
Yeah.
And I asked Microsoft why this had changed, and they just, they didn't have a direct answer, but they said, we want users to have the best experience, and that's why we think they should reinstall everything. I think they mean the best experience after you have to go through all the hell of reinstalling everything. It's more like, we want you to have a fresh experience, not carry things over that may be giving you problems. So because I think they're very sensitive to people hating on Windows 8 and in turn, Windows 8.1. That's why they don't want people running XP to upgrade on the machines that they have, because they know they're going to hate Windows 8.1 if they do that. Ditto with Vista. They say, you know, if you're running those, we're not going to stop you from upgrading, we're telling you shouldn't.
I think that's true, for one thing, but if you want to get someone hating Windows 8 right off the bat, make them reinstall all their applications.
Doesn't Windows 8 have client Hyper-V or something? Couldn't they just create a virtual machine with all your old crap, and then you could still run that? Why on earth would they have to make you do it all over again? Who keeps their software? I just went through my garage and I threw out a bunch of disks. I'm like, I'm never going to need Instant 3D again on CD-ROM. Yeah.
Well, that is kind of a problem. You know, a lot of these. And by the way, remember how most people get Windows. So if you have Windows 7 in particular, chances are, 80%+, you got it with a new computer. And that new computer probably had Office on it. And it had maybe some other applications. A lot of us might have called that stuff crapware, but some people actually like that stuff. And if you have to blow that all away to get Windows 8 installed, you may not be able to get Office back, you know, because it was on the disk or whatever, it was part of the system image. If you can't actually upgrade in place, it may not be possible to get some of that back. And that's not a good experience.
So make sure all your softwares are services.
I know.
And then you don't have to worry about that. I wonder who sells software as a service.
If somebody did that.
If I didn't have to reinstall Office all the time, if I could just access it.
You should talk to someone about Microsoft. That is a surprisingly good idea.
Yeah. Go figure.
You know, I didn't even think of that. But yeah, that's probably another reason.
Screw it. I'll just pay you the money a year. Okay? That'll work. Yeah. That'll always work. So apparently, is there any more about 8.1 apart from the pricing bonanza, this confusion? Are they going to backtrack on this, by the way? Because Microsoft's got this nice history.
No, of course they are. So by the way, the way to ensure that they backtrack on this is just people have to complain. Because they're in a mode now where they'll take anything back. There are no more important ideals at Microsoft. If you feel strongly enough about it, they'll take it back.
Wow.
Which is a good thing.
I guess, it's a strange thing, but
instead of not listening and just saying, we don't care, guys, we're doing it, and too bad for you, which is what we've had for the past few years.
Now they listen too much.
Yeah, no, they're not listening too much. Come on. I mean, and there are some things they aren't listening on, like TechNet being killed, right? They didn't change their mind on that one, unfortunately, for many people, but
they're either pig-headed or flip-floppy, so it doesn't matter. They're going to lose either way. Somebody's going to criticize anything Microsoft does when it comes to that. And apparently there's some criticisms about Microsoft patches. There's some kind of there's a rapid release cycle. What's going on when it comes to the patches? I hadn't read about this.
Yeah. So Microsoft does something everyone loves called Patch Tuesday every month, where they issue patches for a whole slew of products all at once. Well, the past few Patch Tuesdays, I think starting in July, August, and the most recent bundle that came out, all had a lot of glitchy patches. Not just a little bit glitchy, like really, really bad, especially around Office. In the most recent bundle, there were all kinds of problems with the Office patches, and people who installed them had their mail disappearing. I think that was an Outlook 2013 thing. People have had problems with Hyper-V. They've had problems with Exchange and past batches of some of these patches. And Microsoft's fixing them ultimately, but this is not okay. I mean, people have things set up to automatically do updates, or they count when Patch Tuesday happens, that, hey, we're going to update everybody's machines. They don't even assume that there could be all these glitchy patches, and then they're going to have to go back and reapply them, remove patches that they did install that were wrong on people's machines. And so this, they're starting to become quite a bit of outcry about this. Rod Trent, who works with Paul, has been writing quite a bit about it. Larry Seltzer over at ZDNet. Aidan Finn's been writing about it on his site. He's an IT pro also. And Susan Bradley, who's one of Microsoft's MVPs, has been really beating the drum on this. And Microsoft hasn't made clear what it's going to do differently going forward, but it definitely needs to do something differently, because IT pros are really up in arms about this, as they should be. Microsoft's had a really good history in the past of really checking their patches, doing a lot of quality assurance on the patches before they push them out. And you don't want to get into a case where people say, oh, I'm not going to apply these patches, even though they're really important, especially the security ones, because I'm afraid they might be glitchy. So I think they're going to have to do something around their whole patching systems and patching policies to really reinstore people's faith in these patches, which is really too bad right now.
They're going to patch the patching policy?
Yep. Patch the patching policy.
Pick a patch or pack peppers.
I mean, this isn't totally new, but the amount of botched patches has really come to the fore lately. Somebody is pointing out to me on Twitter, this has actually been happening for years with Exchange, but now that it's affecting client products like Office, I think people are getting even more up in arms.
Yep.
So hopefully we're going to hear something from Microsoft about the patch policy, because this is not a good thing. This is not something you want people to think of when they think of you as an enterprise software company.
Well, this is when Microsoft lives up to the stereotype, right? Like, it compiled, let's ship it, which is not how Microsoft does things, right? That's not fair. I mean, obviously Microsoft is the world's biggest maker of software. They're very good at it and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, there are still people in the IT world who refuse to install monthly updates because they remember from whatever year it must have been, 1999 or something, when Windows NT Service Pack 3 or whatever screwed everything up. And, you know, they've never forgiven Microsoft for that. And every time something like this happens, it sort of obviates the success of the 22,000 of their regular updates they put out since then, or whatever the number is. And it's unfortunate. You know, it's the type of thing that shouldn't happen. The truth is, and again, it's not fair to lump all this stuff together, because I know it's all Microsoft, but it's not like this all comes out of one build lab or something. But, you know, it's the type of mentality where they silently add Skype integration to Outlook.com. And so when you folks call me, for example, like you did today, all of my Skype installs, including on phones, start ringing in my office. But when I answer it on the Skype desktop client, they all shut off. Except for the one that's in Outlook.com for some reason, because that one just went out into the world without any notice. It didn't give you the option to turn it off. It still doesn't. It never asked you if you wanted it there. But every time I get a call on Skype, I have to go back to the web client and manually tell it not to answer the phone, so to speak. There's like a little notification that comes up. And it's that kind of lack of quality control is alarming, no matter where it comes from. And unfortunately, those are all Microsoft examples, but that's the type of thing they kind of, they got to rein in, especially if they're going to get people to buy into this notion of rapid release cycle. Because if this is what it means, this is a disaster.
Exactly. This is when you see this, you're like, wait, I'm not on board with this rapid release cycle thing. I'm not going to risk this, right?
Yep.
And I'm looking at Rod Trent's story on Windows IT Pro, and he pointed out that the person who was in charge at the highest level of all this patching procedure and policy, Barbara Gordon, who was the head of customer service and support, has left Microsoft recently. And now there's somebody new taking this on, Kirsten Kliphouse. So I don't know, if you can connect, she left because of this, or she left and then this happened. I don't know, but it's interesting that the organization that's in charge of this is having a changing of the guard right now.
Right.
So is Microsoft
fixes.
Are they going to address any of this at their financial analyst meeting? Well, to hear you guys are not allowed to be there this year.
We can't go. Right.
No, we're not we financial analysts, IS, but we play them on podcasts.
We do. Yeah. And you know what's I'm sad we can't go this year. I've been to almost every one of the Microsoft financial analyst meetings that they've had. And they're really good because they're meant for Wall Street, but the press who are allowed to go, we kind of got to listen in to the private conversations over dinner and drinks and stuff. And it gave you a real feel for what was going on at Microsoft when you heard, you know, Ballmer privately talking to some of the people who are on Wall Street about various things that they have on their agenda. So the financial analyst meeting this year is today, the 19th. It starts right after Windows Weekly, in fact. And they're going to have the full lineup of the usual. So Steve Ballmer is going to speak, Kevin Turner, who's the COO, Amy Hood, who's the new CFO at Microsoft. And they're going to have this panel with all the new engineering chiefs. So Terry Myerson, Chi Lu, Julie Larson-Green, and Satya Nadella, all of them are going to have a panel where the analysts are going to be able to ask some technical questions. So that should be pretty interesting. This is going to be webcast. I can't wait for this.
Release.
It's going to be interesting. I put up on my site the address for the webcast. It's not something easy I can just repeat here. But if you want to watch it, it starts at 4 Eastern today. And we're going to be writing and blogging and tweeting about it. So if there's anything interesting that comes out of it, we'll let you know. But I don't think it's going to be something crazy like we announce a new CEO. That's not the kind of meeting this is. It's more how they're going to be doing their reporting of their financials going forward. The analysts who are in attendance are probably going to ask them about Nokia and what the plans are there, how the reorg is going to shake out, et cetera. It should be very interesting this year. And sad we don't get to be there in person.
We should have created a fam bingo game.
Yeah.
Fam, you know, like phrases bingo. We expect to hear at the...
You still can. There's time.
There's time.
Synergy. One Microsoft, yes. Flattening.
Integration.
One Microsoft, sure.
Integration,
one
Microsoft. That's
right. And one Microsoft.
Rapid release cycles, that'll also be another one. Do you think they're going to be doing the webcast similar to the Yahoo one where they had that fake anchor desk kind of thing, newscast style? Or,
no.
No?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I was really hoping for something really cheesy or maybe like one of those old 1990 VHS things of how to use Windows 95.
Don't think so.
We don't have those anymore.
No.
Okay, so we've got a brand new Bing coming. The logo has changed, making everyone super
excited.
So just
to be really clear.
What's that?
Nothing is actually changing at Bing, right?
At Bing?
It's not like a different Bing. It's just the
logo is different.
Well, I mean, eventually, it's funny when you look at what they announced, a lot of the talk around Bing is the same as it ever was, you know? They don't say it this way, but, you know, they sort of feel like they can't compete head-to-head with Google just straight search on the web, not because they don't have a good service, but because Google just has such great brand recognition. And so they sort of go after these vertical search opportunities, you know, travel and celebrity images for some reason are big on Bing. But and then they go with the integration bits, integration with Xbox 360 and Xbox One, integration of Windows 8.1, which is actually a really interesting feature, integration with Windows Phone and Office and whatever, you know, all the major platforms. But you know, once you get beyond all that stuff, which they've already talked about, you know, they have a new logo. It's fun. And someday they're going to change the search results page. And that's going to be pretty, maybe. You know, it's like there really wasn't a lot to it. It was kind of interesting.
But it's magical. I'm reading this from the Bing search blog. Bing senior director Scott Erickson wrote, "Magic doesn't come from just giving a list of a zillion links. Magic comes from people being able to do things with the information they find and empowering people to do what they need."
Yeah.
Because, you know, you think Bing, you think magic. That
you've explained why Bing exists. I mean, I don't know why I ever questioned it.
It's magical. Magical.
Yeah. Now, one thing I do like that they say they're going to change, and we should point out, only in the U.S., we don't know when this is going to change for people outside the U.S. We've asked and they don't know or won't say. But, you know, they had this three-column design for a while if you signed in with your account. And they had this snapshot thing and the sidebar thing.
Hated
and you could
that.
See, me too, hated. Now they're going to have two columns, so less hate.
less
snapshot
to hate.
And sidebar, get I just integrated.
Yeah, the social integration stuff is like...
I don't love that. Some people like it. I know. You and I do not.
Listen, I mean, the people that I'm friends with on Facebook, I don't want their recommendations for pants.
You don't?
Well, that's because you're anti-pants. That's a whole other issue, isn't it?
Okay.
That's probably true. You can't see. This is why this image is framed this way. Again, we constantly are telling people not to do the video.
Right. Please watch the video version of this. This is just for your own good.
Yeah. This is a pants check. And
the other thing they wanted to bring out with the new logo, we should point out, and this is going to come up in the financial analyst meeting, is Bing isn't just a search engine, a web destination, you know, like Bing. So many people just think I go to Bing.com and I search if I want to do an alternative to Google. But Bing is integrated into more and more Microsoft products. It's integrated into Windows Phone, obviously. Now with Windows 8.1, very deeply integrated. They're integrating it into the Cortana Siri-like thing that they're building. It's everywhere. It's going to be in more and more Microsoft products, either very visibly as a search engine type thing or using the back end, what they call Satori, their knowledge repository technology from Bing. It's all going to be built in. So
the message is, you are going to use Bing.
Exactly. You're going to use Bing and you're going to like it or not. But you know, a lot of Wall Street keeps saying Microsoft should sell off Bing because it's a big money sink for them and they should dump online services. They are not going to do this, guys. Not happening. But it's going to come up again today, I bet, in the financial analyst meeting.
Yeah, they're still powering Yahoo Search, right? Like
they are.
You got Marissa Meyer trying to pump that company up. Search still is important. But the fact is Yahoo gets to skin the results effectively and they have other resources to look at. But if Bing gets – it's just – when it comes down to it, it's what? Search results, which is what you want. So if Bing can do a good job, and it's – I'd say on par with Google at times. It's adequate. And I think that's not good enough apparently. People want amazing or magic. And I don't know if you're going to get magic from a search engine. What are you expecting, like predictive kind of things with Cortana or whatever it's called?
Yeah.
So Mary Jo, if I may interject, I noticed in the preview for Bing, it says WebBlue preview.
I saw that too. I noticed that. Good observation. Yeah. So, you know, everything Microsoft's doing now is blue. You know, Windows 8.1 is blue and Windows Server 2012 R2 is blue. So this is Bing blue, I guess.
But it's yellow.
Yellow logo, yes, blue it underneath. It bleeds blue, guys. Bing bleeds blue.
Bing bleeds blue. That sounds like a great chant that probably happens in the meeting room of the services division.
Bing bleeds blue. Yeah, it does.
I'm going to go a little bit about the logo because Yahoo did their new logo and people are like, this is hideous. I like to say the Bing logo, which kind of looks like the Google Drive logo, is not hideous. Mm. It's a lot nicer and cleaner.
You like the new Bing logo?
Compared to the old one, yes. The old one was really hideous.
What do you mean by that?
Well, just these large circles, kind of these rings for Bing. Just didn't look right at all. This looks more like a Microsoft product of now. I don't know why they didn't cap the B. Like they did for every other division, Microsoft. Yes. That to me is inconsistent, and that bothers me.
It's playful.
I don't want my search engine to be playful. It's supposed to be correct and magical, obviously. Yeah, playful and magical have nothing to do with each other. But yeah, decent rebrand. It just actually reminds me of the old Office logo if somebody just kind of ran it through like a paper shredder or something. There's that. Any other words on Bing's redesign? The two columns are two columns in instead of three. Guess now it's time.
Less is more. Yes, less is more.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess that's true. 8.1, want a full upgrade? That's all you get. You know what I mean? Full version, that's all you get. You want an upgrade? That's gone. Less is more. Let's look at some listener Q&A. I ask folks on Twitter because that way I can actually keep track of what's going on. If they had questions for Paul or Mary Jo, somebody wanted to find out if you guys had watched Transformers 3, Dark of the Moon.
I have. And by the way, I hope I'm not jumping all over Mary Jo for, you know, I'm sure she has a lot to say about this movie, but I actually...
Yeah, a ton.
I actually kind of like that movie.
Okay,
and I feel like I'm going to be in the minority on that one, but I enjoyed the whole historical part of it, you know, where the United States had gone to the moon and then these guys were there. And I thought that was all kind of cool. So, there you go.
Mary Jo, do you have an opinion on this movie?
Never seen it.
You're doing yourself a good favor by not seeing this movie. I watched it yesterday. It was.
She refused to see it because what's that actress that wasn't in it?
Megan Fox is not in it.
Megan Fox was not in it.
That's the protest.
If Megan Fox had been in it, I would have been all over it. But no.
By the way, I respect that. I respect.
It was a movie designed for 8-year-olds, and it was incredibly anger-inducing, more so than the Bing inconsistencies. So I want to get past that. I did another podcast about that the other day, and I was just intensely furious at this movie. I couldn't believe it existed.
Wow, really?
It made $1.12 billion. Yeah. And I'm just thinking how that money could have been used for.
Imagine how much it would have made if Megan Fox was in it.
I'm just thinking, like, in the movie, they talk about we had to pretend like space travel is very expensive. We had to stop manned space exploration because of this, because of the Transformers secret. Spoiler. The movie's been out for like a year or two, so. Too bad if I'm spoiling this.
I think I got it free from Google Play. I think that's why I've seen this movie.
That's how you've seen it? It's on Netflix as
well. I think that's why I have it.
All right, I got to stop hijacking this. But yeah, if you use like one half of that money for space exploration as opposed to paying it to Michael Bay and company,
sure.
World would be a better place, I think. Maybe.
No, you're right. You're right about that.
Okay, enough of my Transformers rant. Got a question, probably mainly for Paul. This is from Suck League Jeff. That's his Twitter handle. Okay. Since he spent so much time, 925 upgrade worth it from 920
on AT&T? No,
no, no. Shouldn't
no? Those two things are very close together. I mean, the 925 is much thinner and lighter and all that, but it also doesn't have wireless charging built in, and the camera is only a little bit better. It's not. That's not a good. 920 to 1020 even is a tough. Sell, because anyone who has a 920 just got it. They're still, you know, they would have to pay full price. I mean, I don't, you know, you don't upgrade from a 920 now.
Let's see. What other questions have we got?
If we can go back to Megan Fox for a second, just a fun fact.
Yes, please.
If you Google an image of her, you will find me in the background.
Yes. And by the way, that expression on your face is the right expression.
Yes. No, we were there observing just for the.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Long hilarious. Story, but there you go.
You look like one of the sweat hogs.
Thank you.
Was that the look you were going for? Not a medieval recreationist, but he is a Mr. Cotto recreationist. That, again, on the video, Alex Gumpel.
Like, what?
Younger.
What?
What the hell is going on?
Got a question from Carrie. When will the Nokia Lumia 1020 be available on Verizon?
Never. Probably not that exact model, right? It'll be some variant, but maybe not for many months. I would bet next year. What do you think, Paul? Yeah. Just a guess.
Next year, yep. It's going to be carrier exclusive for a while. So think about how long. Well, how long was it from 920 to 928? I mean, that was a good 8 months or something, or
something like that.
It's going to be similar. You know, it's going to be a while.
Question from Chip. He says, suppose Apple, Google, and Microsoft achieved market parity on general computing devices. Could Microsoft survive?
Success. That's, by the way, he just described best case scenario for Microsoft. I would be surprised if they hit parity with Google and Apple.
Okay.
And the answer is yes, they could survive.
They could survive, you think so?
I think that would be bigger than they are today if they achieved that.
Question from EMAD says, shouldn't Microsoft sell a Windows Phone 8 and Core i5 laptop bundle to prove the high price of the iPhone 5C? That's an interesting idea.
Who should sell this?
Microsoft.
I mean, I think they should sell some bundles, either phone and tablet, or like somebody said, the RT tablet with the Xbox. I mean, why not sell bundles? I mean, you're getting rid of excess stock in some cases. You're showing your strengths. You're showing why these things work better together, right?
Ben Rudolph does a little thing, you know, what can you get for $99? And he talks about the Lumia 520 or whatever. What can you get for $550, you know? Yep. It should be an RT tablet and a Windows phone. That'd be pretty cool. Yep.
Savage Mike in the chat room says, question for Paul and Mary Jo. What is the potential for Bay Trail devices hurting sales of the Surface Pro 2?
Well, okay. So so people understand what he's asking. Bay Trail is the new version of the Atom processor. All previous and current versions of the Atom processor have been really crappy, just really bad processors. And so current gen Clover Trail Atom processor based systems are not great. They're barely better than ARM devices. Supposedly Bay Trail is a significant advance. And so the battery life has always been great, but I guess the performance is much better. I'll need to see that in real life before I will agree with that statement, because again, Atom has been a letdown so far. But yeah, if those things perform properly and they're not limited by just 2 gigs of RAM, which is also the case right now for some reason, even though it's very artificial, That would be a significant competitive threat to Surface Pro or any like Haswell or you know, core processor based system. And so maybe that's why they come with 2 gigs of RAM, you know, so they can't be. I guess we'll see.
Adam Five in the chat room asks, is Google ever going to let this whole YouTube thing go? I'm assuming he's talking about the Windows Phone YouTube application issue that's been going on for the past, I don't know, 3-4 months now, maybe longer.
We don't really even know at this point what's going on with that. It's like,
the one thing I'll say, and somebody pointed this out on Twitter today, but I noticed this myself a while back when I just didn't really care. I'm not so interested in like a YouTube app personally, but you know, YouTube works great on your phone's browser, by the way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're a Windows phone and you want to watch YouTube videos, do it on your browser. It still plays in that full screen integrated system, you know, video player. It works fine.
Yeah, but isn't that just really so Microsoft can say, we have a YouTube app? Like, just because when they have this comparison chart, they want to be...
Yeah, no, I get why Microsoft wants to have it. I guess what I'm saying is if your goal is just to watch YouTube videos and not make a big deal out of it, it works fine on the web. That's all.
And, you know, that's what Google keeps saying. They say, what? Tell everybody to just use the web app. But there are some people who want an app. I think because some wanted to download videos, right? Wasn't that part of the thing already, that Microsoft had?
That was taken out, though.
Right. But can they put that back in or not under the terms of service? That's what I can't remember.
My understanding is they can't. Although I'm looking at use iOS everywhere. I'm looking at the iOS YouTube app just to see if that is a feature. And I'm probably not going to be able to figure that out in the time that this is taking. But it'd be interesting if Google's own app supported that, right? And they didn't let Microsoft do it. But I never, you know, even the original version of that YouTube app that Microsoft put out that I thought was pretty good and then got them into trouble with Google. I remember reading the complaint and part of it was the downloading part. And I was like, you could download videos with this thing? Like, it never even occurred to me that an app would offer that capability. So, you know, a YouTube app that is.
Leon Zandman saying on Twitter, with the YouTube apps, you have better scrubbing, like fast forward back in videos than you do using the web. So that's one reason.
Matt Blair on Twitter asks, any word on the new SkyDrive name? Because SkyDrive is something Microsoft can't call it anymore, apparently.
No. They did a little joke on their Outlook.com Reddit recently where they said, maybe we'll just rename it Earth, Wind, and Fire Drive. But no. We have no clues on what the new SkyDrive name is going to be.
They should call it Schadenfreude Drive.
I bet that'd be that URL's available. Also, very hard to spell.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it would just lead to horrible.
I would be shocked
if they don't just call it Microsoft Drive or.
They'll call it Metro Drive, and then say Modern Drive, and then
Modern Drive,
Windows 8.1 style drive.
Windows Store Drive.
Windows Store Drive. That sounds terribly. Actually, sounds a little bit redundant too.
They could call it Microsoft Drive, and then they could rename the road that goes into Microsoft Campus to Microsoft Drive, and it would be this. It would just stupid, really. I don't know why.
Sync Toy. They had Sync Toy.
They did.
That's what I used to use all the time. That was my
Live Mesh. You know. Yep.
Well, they got a whole bunch of names sitting around. They could call it the Kin Drive. I got to make one Kin Drive, a Kin joke, an episode that I'm on, just because I still think.
I was looking forward to Kin sticking around for a while because I had all these great Greg Kin jokes I was going to say all the time.
Well, the Asha could be the new Kin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could be Kin of Kin.
Kin of Kin.
Next of Kin.
let's move on to the picks, shall we?
All right.
What's the software pick of the week?
So I have nothing but software picks of the week this week. I usually do a tip and a software pick, but this week there's just some software releases coming out. So I thought I'd highlight that stuff. Microsoft released Internet Explorer release preview for Windows 7. Internet Explorer 7 release preview. The previous developer release was obviously aimed at developers, but the new version is aimed at developers, of course, but also I think end users and IT pros and so forth. Some pretty dramatic performance improvements over the previous release, better support for web standards, and improved developer tools that were added based on feedback from the initial release. So if you're running Windows 7 and you want to see a little bit of the future, you can grab the release preview. And then I would imagine the final release probably by the end of the year potentially as early as October 18th, but, you know, certainly by the end of the year. And then a couple of big game releases for Windows Phone 8. Where's My Water 2, which is not something I'm super interested in, but both of my kids expressed extreme excitement at this game, which they're familiar with the earlier version, I guess, which is free on Windows Phone 8. And then Angry Birds Star Wars 2, which is only 99 cents. And I actually, as tired as the Angry Birds series is getting, I actually really liked Angry Birds Star Wars, the original one. And this is kind of like the prequel themed version of it. And I think one of the cool things about this, which is very brief, it was that for some reason this came out on Windows Phone before it came out on iOS. Although I believe that time has now come and passed. But that is available now. And so those are both, well, one's free. Where's My Water 2 is free, and Angry Birds Star Wars 2, I guess that's what it's called. Angry Birds Star Wars 2, yes, is 99 cents.
So before we get to the Enterprise pick of the week, we should take a small break and thank Audible, because this episode of Windows Weekly is brought to you by Audible.com. Now, if you've listened to the show or any Twitch show, you know about Audible.com. It's the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all kinds of literature. So if you like fiction, they got that. If you like nonfiction, they've got that. You want periodicals? Guess what? They've got that too. And if you listen to Windows Weekly, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. Paul, you've got a pick this week. What is that?
Yeah, I've been on a weird Stephen King kick lately, reading sort of a short story collection. So I just finished, in fact, just literally today, finished Full Dark, No Stars, which is four kind of long stories. And next week, Dr. Sleep is coming out, which is the sequel to The Shining. And so I don't want to get into anything that's 43 hours long right now because I want to hit that one next. So I picked up something for the interim called The Man in the Black Suit, which is also for short stories. And so it's under 4 hours. They're all about 45 minutes long. And these are four Stephen King short stories this time. And so this this is going to get me through next week. And then I can finally launch into the Shining sequel, which I've been waiting for.
So you don't get enough horror by covering Microsoft. You have to listen to Stephen King as well.
This is how I just balance out the rest of my life.
This is good. This is why you're such a chipper fellow. they also have other styles of books. I was listening to Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. It's a good book if you're high stress like somebody like me and you're like, hey, you know, I should relax a little bit. That's available over at audible.com. If you wanted to download the book Paul mentioned or the one I'm mentioning, you could go try that out, audible.com/windows. If you don't want to try out the book we're talking about, you could try one of the 150,000 that they have. That's audible.com/windows. To try out your free book, download a free audiobook today. And we thank Audible.com for their sponsorship of Windows Weekly. Enterprise pick of the week. What is that this time, Mary Jo?
This is a sad pick of the week. Microsoft is doing away with a conference very beloved by many enterprise users. It was called the Microsoft Management Summit. They used to have it every year, usually in the spring in Las Vegas. And this was the show where they talked a lot about what they were going to do with System Center, Windows Intune, a lot of their enterprise products, a little bit of Windows Server usually in there, a lot of PowerShell usually in there. And Paul's colleague, Rod Trent, again, we're citing him again today, on myitforum.com, passed on the word this week, no more MMS. And, you know, the reason I made it the pick, even though it's a kind of like a downer, no more MMS for people who love System Center and their friends, it's kind of interesting because Microsoft's making a lot of moves right now that are leading some, like Paul wrote a post on this too, to question what's Microsoft doing around the IT pro space right now. There are some theories being tossed out there that maybe Microsoft is doing away with some of these shows and events because they are really trying to push everybody more and more to the cloud, even though they talk about, you know, we're going to let people do what they want, have private cloud, public cloud, hybrid cloud. There's more and more indications that some of the old time things that were really meant to allow IT pros to get up to speed on enterprise products and use them in their own data centers are starting to go away. And some are wondering, like Paul and Rod, whether this is something that Microsoft is doing intentionally because they're trying to encourage more IT pros to stop doing things in their own shops and instead use the cloud. I don't know if that's for sure, but it's an interesting premise. And it's something to be thought about when you think about MMS going away.
Mm-hmm. Such a downer.
I know that was a downer. Sorry.
So I'm sorry to interject because this is your pick, but I just spoke about this.
You should weigh in. I know.
I spoke at a local user group last night, and I talked about this very thing, and it was the next slide was just one of those transition slides, and it literally said, "Depressed yet?" Because it does seem like Microsoft, in many ways, is declaring war on IT pros. And I think the way that Rod had written it was that Microsoft sees IT pros as their chief competitor because these guys are charged with doing everything on-prem because that's their job. And something that I had, one of the crazy experiences I had hosting or co-hosting a Microsoft Tech Ed pre-conference a couple of years ago was an Exchange administrator who asked me from the audience, "So what you're telling me is that my final act as an Exchange administrator is going to be to migrate my company's Exchange infrastructure to the cloud, and then I'll be out of a job," which is dark, but fairly accurate when you think about it, because what Microsoft wants is as many seats as possible in their cloud service, not in servers sitting in companies' own data centers. And so obviously it's a transition, but ultimately the goal is to get the needle as far over on the cloud side. And that kind of crosses IT pros out of the equation.
Well, that's really depressing.
Yeah.
Depressing.
So there's a rumor of the week, apparently. There's information about Surface 2 pricing. Does not refresh.
Yes. This just in. I have a rumor of the week instead of a codename pick of the week. I have from a very credible source a little bit of information on Surface pricing. So this is one source only, but somebody who I've had luck with in the past. So this person is saying that they believe Microsoft is going to announce on Monday that Surface RT is going, the version one, the current RT, is going to be $349.99, which is good. That's the current price. And that Surface, the new Surface 2 will start at
$499.
Oh. Is it Surface 2 or Surface Pro?
Too. That's the ARM based one. Oh. Started at $499.
Hence the booing.
Surface Pro 2, supposedly from the same person, will start at $899.
Oh, what? No.
Does it come with the docking station and the stylus and the cover and?
Nope. So that's all your peripherals are add-ons, people. Just passing it on. One source only, but you're hearing it here first.
So if we complain loud enough right now, Microsoft will backtrack by Monday.
Yeah, maybe.
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 Wow.
Maybe
not. Again, I still think that's to make sure that they don't tick off competitors. Keep that price high. So yeah.
That's identical pricing is what you said.
We should all get happy with some beer then. What's the beer pick of the week?
Okay. Yeah, this is an awesome pick of the week. This will bring you back up. And I think Iaz will really like this pick because I know you're a hophead like I am.
I am.
Okay. So I've talked about Pliny before as my beer pick of the week. That's a West Coast version of an Imperial IPA. But there's an East Coast version. It's called Heady Topper. And it's from a brewery in Vermont called The Alchemist. And it's somewhat hard to get because they don't make a lot of it. So if you're in Vermont, it's pretty easy to find it. Relatively easy, I should say. But every once in a while, cans of this make it out of Vermont. And sometimes people go up and pick up growlers too. But if you ever have a chance to get this beer, it's rated at 100 on Beer Advocate as like a perfect beer. And I've had it. A friend of mine brought me a can down from Vermont. It's amazing. It's as good as Pliny. So there's a lot of debate. Is it as good as Pliny or is Pliny better? But if you love hops and you love Imperial IPAs, you've got to try this beer. It's amazing. So I got to mail you one.
I would love that. I don't know if you can legally, but 120 IBU. That is freaking bitter.
It is. It's so awesomely bitter.
Because Hop Stupid's like 108 or something like that.
It's like eating a lime without taking off the outside, the skin.
The more bitter you get, the happier I get when it comes to that seems like it'd be fantastic. It seems odd to be canned.
Really it's actually better in the can. It sounds crazy, but I've had it poured and I've had it out of the can, like drinking it right out of the can, and it tastes better in the can. And they even say on the can, it tastes better in the can. I don't know why it does, but it does.
Interesting. I'm going to have to try. I'm going to have to get a lot of them and try it. What a horrible, horrible plan coming up for the next couple of weeks. I used to live in Vermont. Vermont's got some really good beer. And there's a really great reason for that because in the winter, you can't go anywhere. It's just there's snow everywhere. There's ice everywhere. Plowing happens, at least in my town back then, in Randolph, maybe like once, twice a week. So you would just kind of get some beer and sit down and maybe get some firewood. That's what you did most of the day in Vermont. So that, it doesn't surprise me that Vermont would get really good at beer. And they still...
Yeah.
What is this thing called? Heady Topper from The Alchemist.
Yeah, it's really, really good if you ever see it anywhere. Yeah, I'll have to send you guys some because you guys have sent me beer before, so...
Yeah, I'm sure that we will enjoy that. Bitter. Bitter's great. If we wanted bitter news about Microsoft or happy news, Paul, do you have any bitter or happy news around the web somewhere?
I sure do. You can find me at winsupersite.com.
Is that it? What about Twitter? What if I wanted to read like small things from you?
I am also at Twitter, at therot.com.
Wait, isn't it just at therot?
Right.
Been a long
that wasn't a trick question.
Not at therot.com.
Sorry. Twitter.com/therot or at therot if you want to. Now I'm doing the bit.
I don't know.
He also writes books. You know, if you want to get a book,
that kind of stuff.
Paper books. You know, are you doing an update for 8.1?
We're not doing it with the publisher. They asked us if we wanted to do an update, and we decided to go it alone. And so Raphael and I are writing a Windows 8.1 book from scratch, and I just posted the very first update for that this week, but. The website's not up yet. We're going to have our own URL for the book, but it's going to be windows81book.com eventually. It's not there yet, but it will be soon.
How about you, Mary Jo? Are you on Twitter? And do you know your Twitter handle?
I do.
And don't add .com to it.
There's no .com on mine. It's just at Mary Jo Foley on Twitter. Yeah. And my allaboutmicrosoft.com is my main website where I post regularly and often, and we'll be posting tonight. Many stories probably from the financial analyst meeting.
I really hope they do the webcast like in the newscast. Really hope. I'm hoping against hope there. So you'll be looking from the outside for the financial analyst meeting, FAM. So
FAM.
We'll be finding out how that goes and what kind of technical things will happen. I'm sure you're going to read all about that stuff at allaboutmicrosoft.com and winsupersite.com. Not at therot.com. You should buy that right now because somebody's going to lock that up at therot.com. Somebody's going to get that. I think that wraps it up for us. Next week, I'll be back here because we'll be talking about Windows stuff. Are you guys going to be here next week?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yep.
All right, good. Because I'd be lost without you guys. So thanks, everybody, for watching. We'll see everybody next time on Windows Weekly.